here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
All right, everyone. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Bulletproof Monday. I hope everyone is doing amazing. I have a question for you. What are you doing to protect your immune system, especially when we're hearing in the news about the coronavirus? We know it's cold and flu season. And if you're used to me talking about entrepreneurship and marketing and mindset, you might be thinking, why is she talking about this? Well, here's the thing I'm going to say to you. How good are you going to be in your business if you get sick? You're not going to be very good at all. And I have a very special guest I'm going to introduce in just a moment. And she's an incredible health practitioner. And we're going to be giving you 7 tips that you can use right now to help to boost your immune system, protect yourself, and go out there and do all the amazing things you're supposed to do. Quick announcement. We have the amazing Only 4 Days is coming up. That is going to come up on April the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. So you definitely do want to check that out. And this event is going to be mind-blowing. We have Jeffrey from JR Garage. He's going to be training you on how to monetize YouTube and TikTok. He has over 1 million followers on YouTube. He was a millionaire at 16. He's now 20 years old. He owns 20 luxury cars. He rents those out. Amazing. And he just bought an airplane. We have Casey Adams. Casey has the number one podcast in the world for Gen Z. You can check him out at the event as well. You're going to be learning social media strategies from people like Dennis Yu, Kieran O'Brien, Dr. Diane Hamilton. She's a best-selling author, good friend of mine. She is an incredible, incredible human being. And she's going to be training on how to use curiosity to build better relationships and grow your business. So you can get your tickets on only4days.com. Use the code ACTION, all caps, to get $200 off. And tickets are selling out fast. I don't think we have that many left. So you want to check that out. Anyway, let's get right into it today. So you've been reading on the news about the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And if you are watching this live on February 3rd or listening on iTunes or you're watching on YouTube, as of today, there are over 17,000 cases that have been diagnosed. And on top of that, we are approaching 400 deaths. And so some people are saying, well, this isn't as important as SARS was. The death rate was higher. Other people are saying you're more likely to die from the flu. We are not saying that you shouldn't be concerned about one type of virus versus another, but at the end of the day, your body is composed of 100 trillion cells and your immune system can protect you, especially if you take care of it. So we're going to give you some incredible, incredible tips today. So my guest today is a cardiothoracic nurse practitioner. So day in and day out, she is working with patients. She works in a clinic, but she also does rounds in the hospital. She is no stranger to helping people protect their immune system, especially as they're getting ready for surgeries or recovering from surgeries. Mm-hmm. So with that, I would like to welcome my incredible guest, Mia Chorney. Mia, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Well, Mia, you know, there are people out there who are watching and maybe they're not overly concerned. And do you, let me ask you, just jump right in. Should people be concerned about the coronavirus?
Absolutely. When we look at the reproduction rate, and you and I've talked about that, it is replicating very, very quickly at a much higher rate than SARS did. So absolutely, we need to be aware.
And there are still other viruses that people might get this time of year that aren't the coronavirus, because I think people are thinking coronavirus, but they're forgetting about things like the common cold or the flu. You know, when we're thinking about that, you know, in your opinion, would, you know, should everyone not be concerned, especially this time of year, with keeping themselves healthy?
Everybody should be concerned, whether, you know, we use the term womb to tomb, Susan. Everybody should be very aware. Absolutely. You know, there's so much out there right now. I have repeatedly patients sick just with a common cold, flus, everything right now.
And Mia, sometimes people might be walking around and they're just feeling run down, but they might actually have a bit of the flu or something. What are the most common symptoms people have if their immune system has been compromised?
Fatigue, definitely fatigue. A lot of people lacking sleep, you know, perhaps an upset stomach a little bit, sometimes a cough. But, you know, I would say one of the big things people come in is with fatigue, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes we discount fatigue. We don't think it's anything viral. We're like, oh, I'm just tired. Right. Mm-hmm. And as we talk about the seven things we can do to help to support a healthy immune system, especially the majority of viewers who watch this show own a business. They either have a main business, or they might have a day job and then they have a side hustle, or they might have two small businesses, but there are other startup founders, business owners. And when you're in the, you know, meeting with people in public, I know today I had to go to a meeting and I was literally pressing the elevator button with my elbow.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have to be around people, your chances are your immune system is going to get compromised. And let's talk about the first of the seven, which is one of the things that makes us so vulnerable to a lowered immune system is stress. Can you talk about that?
Stress is, it's incredible. The latest stat on stress is that 20% of North Americans are under not just stress, but very high stress. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, most people in North America state they have a moderate amount of stress every day. Well, when we're impacted by that, our immune system definitely is lower. And so it's incredible, Susan, the statistics on that right now and what we need to do about it.
And, you know, when we're under stress and, you know, you think 20% of people are under high amounts of stress, and then that doesn't include the rest of the people who just have some degree of stress. When we're under a lot of stress, it will actually, you know, it can just be this snowball effect, because then we end up eating foods that can lower our immune system. We're going to talk about that in a moment. We can also, then we're not sleeping. We'll talk about how that lowers our immune system. So, you know, in my humble opinion, and I always used to say when I worked with clients many years ago in the health field, that, you know, stress, helping your body deal with stress can solve a multitude of woes. But you see people who are sort of rushing here and there, and they, you know, when we're under stress, we don't always pay attention to details, that we might, you know, forget to wash our hands, or we might forget to tell our kids to wash their hands when they're coming in the door. Or we might, you know, again, be in a position when we're under a high amount of stress that we tend to, you know, not take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And stress, historically, I've always said stress is like a light switch, that when you're in under a high amount of stress, studies show that it does make you more prone to getting sick. And so the higher your stress, you turn on that light switch, and then it's like, yes, suddenly you're prone to everything, right? Yes. So what are some things people should do to lower their stress in order to protect their immune system?
Well, let's talk about that. The number one thing for lowering stress, I think, is people need to get their sleep. We should talk about that, Susan. Sleep is, you know, the average, again, I know I'm saying stats, but the average North American does not get enough sleep, and either do our children. There's a lot of discussion that, you know, our children are reporting they're chronically tired all the time. Well, when you don't get your sleep, your body does not get that time to repair. And so sleep is critical. We're supposed to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. Most of us report 5 to 6. So first thing I would suggest is people get some sleep, really focus on that and figuring out good sleep hygiene or how they're going to get that sleep. But if you're run down and don't have that time to repair yourself, we're not even starting out our day healthy. We're exhausted.
Yeah. And that's, and so many people are, you know, that I call it being on to on, you know, especially if you have kids at home or aging parents, and you're like, you work and then you come home and you're someone's mom or someone's daughter or some, you know, whatever. And it's just go, go, go. Yeah. And it's taxing on our adrenal system. And that's where things like mindfulness and prayer and journaling and yoga and all those good things that we hear about. And so many people say, Susan, you know, I've listened to your show and I know I should. I know I should exercise. I know I should, you know, pray. I know I should meditate and do all those things. But, you know, if you're feeling your immune system is compromised, mm-hmm. that is a signal not for you to go out there and push harder and do more, mm-hmm. but figure out how to do things in a way that's smarter and more efficient so you can lower the stress and have that more time for that exercise, for the, you know, for that better rest. And we're going to talk about sleep in a moment. Mm-hmm. And I know, Mia, too, there are a lot of scientific advancements in terms of stress management. And I know that there's a lot of talk about things like adaptogenic herbs. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So adaptogenic herbs have been around for centuries. This has been in literature. You can go on all kinds of resources and you're going to find great information. Basically, what adaptogens are is there's this holistic plant-based health where people are getting this nutrition, or we'll call it adaptogens, we'll say what it is, from plants that come from harsh countries. So think of Siberia or places where things survive in that cold climate. Well, we've developed things like ashwagandha and schizandra and those things. You know, some are better for long-term stress, some are better for short-term stress. But there's a lot of literature that adaptogens, so they help you adapt and calm down those cortisol levels that are, you know, can be counterinhibitive to us. You know, we use cortisol in flight or fight sort of state, but we should not be doing that every day. We get worn out. And so I use adaptogens twice a day. Even when I'm not stressed, I still use them. I want my body to stay, you know, really, really healthy. And let's be honest, we all do have some kind of stress every day. I mean, it's just life in today's society, right? Yeah. The top things that cause stress are, you know, money, health, and relationships. Well, I'm sure we all have a little bit of that every day, let alone the coronavirus, right? So, yeah.
Those are some great tips, Mia. And let's go to the second one. So managing our stress. The second thing is really about paying attention to hand washing. And I know when you go in to work in the hospital, there are signs everywhere, wash your hands, yeah. wash your hands. Can you talk about that one?
Yeah, well, it's like a burning point for me. Less than 5% of the population washes their hands less than 5% do it correctly. So when we wash our hands, don't laugh, but you should think of doing it for like 20 seconds. Get in there. You need some soap. You need some water. Lather it up. They say the birthday song twice. I don't know. Pick what works for you. But you want about 20 seconds to try to cleanse your hands, to remove, you know, what you're getting. Some of the top places we get those germs from are the grocery cart, right? You think of the grocery cart. How about the gas station? Can you imagine, Susan, how many people touch that gas pump every day? And so we definitely need to focus as healthcare professionals. That's why we wash our hands. We don't want to keep passing from patient to patient. Some people use gel, whatever, but I can't stress it enough right now for people. I laughed when you said about the elbow. I'm the foot to flush the toilet in public places, you know, things like that. So yeah, great point, Susan. It is the number one way we could be protecting our population is great hand washing. You know, we talk about it all the time. Please, everybody, if you take anything away from here, wash your hands. It prevents transmission of illness.
I know that I'm not calling anyone out because I don't know, but I read a statistic that said only 68% of men wash their hands after going to the bathroom. Guys, gross. And what is more disgusting, this is called a Susan rant, just like Dave Ramsey has his rant. This is my disgusting pet peeve. When I'm in a restroom, a public restroom, and there's a woman beside me peeing and talking on the phone, I'm like, are you kidding me? You're just, yes. Might as well just like spread all that stuff over your phone and then you touch your face. It's just vile. Don't do that.
Yep.
We didn't talk on our phones and pee in public 15 years ago. You don't need to do it now. It's disgusting. Just don't.
So true.
Mia, the third thing in terms of the list of seven is, you know, we start to touch on it, is really paying attention to our electronics. And when there's a virus going around, you know, wiping our phone down, wiping our laptop down. I was with a friend today and his laptop was kind of disgusting. You know, his screen was dirty. His keyboard was dirty. How often should people do that?
I actually wipe mine down every day, to be honest. I really do. Because a lot of times people are also handling your own electronics. How many times have you handed your phone to someone to take a look at something or take a picture for you? Like, how many times has someone else taken a picture for you? Could you take a picture of me? Well, heck, they could have been one of those people who went to the washroom and didn't wash their hands. Or so a lot of us at work, we will multiple share electronics, so computers, you know, when we're going through the hospital and we're all dictating or typing. So I can't say enough about that. I wipe my stethoscope down, Susan, every day, right? Because it's touching multiple people. So I would say we should do it. I don't know. What do you think? You are such an expert on that. I'd love to hear what you think too.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's so funny you mentioned that because I was at the Phoenix Open on the weekend and I did get someone to take a photo of my daughter and I, and I'm like, oh, you know, and generally speaking, I'll wipe down my phone with alcohol, just rubbing alcohol, not like Patron or something, people, but I'll do it every single day. But, you know, it's so funny that I, you know, as we're having this discussion, you know, some days I forget, but this is not the time to be forgetting about that stuff, right? And now we're hearing too, even if we're just talking about Corona, today, the second person to person transmission happened. And I know what some of you are thinking, but these people have all come back from Wuhan. It doesn't matter. It's not just coronavirus, it's any virus. And, you know, again, you can't afford to get sick. So I take an extra second. What I do is I keep the rubbing alcohol in the kitchen. And there are a lot of germs on your kitchen sink. And in fact, one study I read said that there are more fecal matter germs at the kitchen sink than there are in the bathroom. It's gross. So I keep the rubbing alcohol in the kitchen. And so I'll wipe down my phone. I'll tell the kids to wipe down their phones, especially when they come in the door, wash your hands, wipe down your phone. And so I don't think any of us should be germaphobes, but it's also, we're talking about viruses and super viruses. We're not talking about, oh, I got a cold and I was down for a couple of days. We're talking about things that are much more serious. Let's go to the next one. So we spoke about sleep. What are your tips on getting better sleep? Because so many people do not sleep well. They don't go to bed on time. They don't sleep through the night. So what advice do you give to people who are not getting the right amount of sleep?
So I call it sleep hygiene. And a couple of big points for me is people should try to go to bed at the same time most days. Get a schedule. So if your schedule is all over, so is your natural clock. And so try to be as regular as you can. For some people, Susan, that literally means setting a bedtime alarm. Set a bedtime alarm. You go to bed at 10, you go to bed at 11. You know when you need to get up in the morning and you know how much sleep you're supposed to technically try to get in a night, 7 to 9 hours. So set a bedtime alarm so you get yourself organized and off to bed. The next big point, Susan, I tell people and my patients is decrease light stimulation. So when you're sitting there camped on the TV in the bedroom, or you're looking at your phone or your iPad, all that light stimulation is literally lighting you up. We should be meditating. We should be praying. We should be unwinding. Reading would be a great option as well. Decrease the light stimulation. So really focus on that. Another big point is decreasing how much fluid we take just before we're getting ready for bed. So for me, I tend to cut down my fluid intake around 6 or 7 p.m. If you're getting up to go to the washroom multiple times in the night, of course, that's naturally breaking your sleep. I mean, sometimes we can't change age, right? You know, if a man has a prostate problem or a woman has other issues, like, you know, sometimes we can't change that, but do what you can so you're not waking up multiple times in the night just to get up to go to the washroom. And another big point is decrease your caffeine. So if you're consuming caffeine, and a lot of us are much more sensitive than others, but if you're consuming a high amount of caffeine into the evening, it is a natural stimulant And so be very cautious of that. Decrease the caffeine intake. I use Sleep Spray. So I'm a light sleeper. We have a dog that sometimes barks. So I love using a natural sleep spray, those kinds of things. I do use a mask sometimes, even to sleep, to decrease light stimulation, right? So those would be some of my top points that I would recommend to people. I love my sleep spray.
Those are all great points, Mia, and people shouldn't underestimate the power of sleep on building a healthy immune system. When we're exhausted, it really messes with our hormones. And when our hormones are out of balance, our body is out of balance, our immune system becomes compromised. And, for myself, I'm that person. I meditate, I read a fiction book, I pray. It's the last thing I do before I go to bed, an Epsom salt bath. And there are some great different things. Like you mentioned, a sleep spray. Some people do well with melatonin. Some people don't. Some people do well with like valerian or something like that. So another one I like too is a non-chocolate protein shake before bed. So nothing with a lot of sugar or carbs in it, but that can also help just to be a great thing to help you sleep. And there are a lot of great protein shakes out there that have, say, tryptophan in it. Tryptophan is the same amino acid that's in turkey. So during Thanksgiving or Christmas, you're so sleepy after you eat it, it's because the L-tryptophan in the turkey. So when I had my nutrition practice many, many years ago, when I had clients who weren't sleeping, I would often have them have like just a vanilla high protein, no sugar, low sugar shake, no artificial sweeteners are in it. And it would help them sleep tremendously. So sleep is a key. Let's go to number five. So the fifth one that we have, this is a hot topic right now in closed public places. There are here in Arizona, because there was a case of coronavirus, we have a lot of students who are wearing surgical masks going to, classes on ASU campus. I was down there today. There are people on airplanes, airports, they're wearing surgical masks. It can't always be avoided. But when do you think someone should wear a surgical mask? When do you think someone shouldn't? I have a friend who's about to fly to Australia and she's like, I've got my mask packed. I'm like, airplanes 100%. What are your thoughts?
Well, the big thing is a lot of viruses are airborne, right? So if someone coughs, that virus could travel 6 feet. So that's where the mask is really, really helpful for us for that. I do agree that I think definitely a vulnerable population should be number one that is using a surgical mask. So our elderly population, perhaps our immune compromised population, people who perhaps have some kind of health condition that compromises them. We do know our health is compromised as we age, right? That's just a natural part of us. In enclosed public spaces, I agree, airplanes, it's all recirculated and it's coming through. Even though I have a good, healthy immune system, I would still be using a mask. But we also don't want people being freaked out and being overcautious. But definitely if you're immune compromised, enclosed public spaces, remember if someone coughs, if you yourself are unwell and you have fevers, please wear a mask to protect others, right? So if you're a healthcare provider in the hospital and you cannot have the flu shot every year, you are to wear a mask to protect others. So it's called reverse protection for other people. So I would say that, Susan, as well. If people are unwell, they should wear a mask. Prevent the spread to other people.
I love that point because it was so clear. Last year I had pneumonia. And so one of my things, and
yes,
one of my big things is, with the coronavirus, it is a respiratory illness like SARS was. And if you are a person who is vulnerable because of perhaps respiratory, or you've recently been ill or, whatever, wear the mask. Don't worry about how you look. Yep. Who cares? I think that sometimes people don't because they're worried. I was Saturday, I was actually getting my hair blown out, and there was a woman in the salon coughing and hacking, like just the kind of wet cough and just cough. And then she laughed. She's like, well, I don't have the coronavirus. And I'm thinking, did you get tested? Do you know? Like, don't think that you shouldn't, because it's very selfish of you if you're sick to be going out.
And good point. How many people cough in their hand? and then they go touch something. So if you're going to cough, cough on your elbow in between or something to cover yourself. But yeah, they cough on their hand, then they go touch something. Then you put your phone on there because you just went by and yeah.
And this virus too, some viruses, all viruses have different lengths of time they can live outside of a host. And, you know, one of the things I read, and I could be entirely wrong, this one could be 6 to 12 hours, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I've read too.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So yes, wear the mask, protect mm-hmm. others. It's good. Let's go to point number 6 is really about what we're eating, our nutrition, not talking about supplementation, but just about the foods we're taking in and water and things like that. So Mia, what advice would you give to people here?
Can I jump right in with the sugar? Are you okay with that?
Please jump right in.
One of the things that I would love for you all to be aware of is when people consume high amounts of sugar, it puts basically like your white blood cells in a coma, right? Susan, we've talked about that because you're an expert in all this, that there was a study back in the 70s that showed when people consume like a big thing of Coke or those kind of things, your white blood cells kind of get stunned. Well, that's your immune system. You have cells in your body that some of them are like, let's say they're like the police and they go around and arrest you. Some are like little CIA and they're surveillance people, right? But if you put your immune system in a little coma, that comes from sugar. That's one of the big things. So let's say to people, please reduce your sugar addiction. Please really focus on the healthy fruits and vegetables and, you know, all those things. We're supposed to be getting our 7 servings of fruit and vegetables a day, which is really tough for a lot of the population. They're eating way too much processed food. They're living hectic lives. You know, we talked about multiple caregivers. So I take greens, you know that, to ensure I already eat super clean and eat a lot of good healthy stuff, but definitely bring down your sugar consumption. The other big things is there's a lot of literature on things like zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D, you know, how those things, there's evidence on that of how that helps support a healthy immune system. And you and I believe, I said, you got to have good warriors in your body. You know, you want to have a good healthy system. Well, if you're run down, poor nutrition, your warriorhood, it's down. So the basis of your immune system really is a lot of it's from nutrition. I mean, if you're not, you know, when socioeconomic status is people don't have a good nutrition, they have a higher rate of, you know, perhaps being more vulnerable, right? We call it a vulnerable population. So I can't stress nutrition enough. Let me know what were you thinking you wanted. I could talk forever on nutrition. It's a big one for me.
No, that's fantastic. And it kind of leads to the next point. You know, the Framingham study spoke about how 5 to 7 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables a day would lower the risk of, you know, many diseases out there. And yet the average person doesn't get 5 to 7 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables in a week. So yeah. One of the things about supplementation is there to bridge a gap. And I want everyone to think about the following. So 50,000 structures in the human body are composed of amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. So they're like little Lego blocks that build individual proteins, even white blood cells and different things that help compose our immune system. When we're not getting enough protein, and it doesn't matter, I'm a vegetarian, many people know that, it doesn't matter whether it's plant-based or whether it's animal-based or it's a mixture, it's about having small amounts of protein throughout the day. We call this protein pacing, but having those small amounts of protein every 2 to 3 hours, not eating the, you know, 12, 15 ounce steak, but, you know, whether it's a couple hard boiled eggs and then 2 hours later, a protein shake. And then, you know, 2 hours later, some fish, some vegetables, that kind of thing is the healthiest way to do it. And it will help keep your immune system super, super strong. Mm-hmm. Mia, you mentioned some great supplements. So vitamin D3, vitamin C, I know CoQ10 is a big one. The average person out there, you know, to really get it all from food, especially in the wintertime, some populations, you know, you and I are both originally from Canada, but in Canada, they don't tend to grow fresh broccoli and beans and things in the winter. A lot of that is trucked in, it's picked before it's ripe. Yeah. It doesn't have the same nutritional value that it would if it was picked locally in the summer. So supplementation, what are your thoughts on that, just in terms of helping to boost the immune system and support the immune system?
100% agree with it. I take supplementation morning and evening in a wide variety of vitamins. I also take my greens. I take my adaptogens. I protein pace. And Susan, another big thing that we need to think about is people are not getting the vitamins from their food, even if it's possibly organic because of over-cultivation, or it's called soil utilization, right? That soil has been used over and over. And so, you know, when we're getting those vegetables, we're probably not getting the quantity of vitamins out of them we're hoping, because we know as it sits on the counter with natural respiration of the vegetables, it deteriorates very quickly, very quickly. So I would suggest everyone right now at this time, definitely make sure you're getting your supplementations, the B's and the C's and the resveratrol and the beta glucans. And I could talk forever on all of the vitamins we need, and the greens, you know, get some extra greens, the adaptogens, that, yeah, incredible.
And Mia, I cannot thank you enough, because I know I go in and I read every, if people are come to the show live, I've been doing it for a couple of years now. And then of course we deploy it on YouTube and, you know, all over the world it goes. But I will go in and read all of the comments. And I know that if, you know, some people are going to want to reach out to you, and I want to give them the opportunity to do that. And just as you were sharing, you know, I had this random, like, what else do I want to say about the immune system, so people really, you know, grasp this and do take it seriously. And you know, one of the things that I thought that we, you know, didn't even talk about yet was just hydration. And if you start to feel run down, electrolytes. I'm, you know, filling my kids every day. You know, electrolytes aren't just for sports or when it's really hot out. Electrolytes are also really helpful just to keep the body in balance. So that, I don't know, it's just it was a random thought. I'll probably think of like other ones after we're done.
Yeah, it's a whole nother, it is an amazing topic. And please, I know, you know, water, half an ounce at least per pound you weigh every day, please, everyone. It flushes out your toxins as much as you can. You know, hydrate over this time of the year. You know, if you put all your blood vessels, Susan, one behind the other and ran them, you know, behind it, it would go around the world twice. So people need to hydrate and, you know, use the beautiful electrolytes that we can use. And we could talk for hydration forever. That's a big topic. I like that one.
So Mia, thank you so much. Where's the best place for people to reach you? I know, especially if they have questions about anything you mentioned today, where should they connect with you?
A couple ways. You could come on Instagram. You'll find me there. You'll get to really know me and what I'm about there. So it's Fit with the number 4. And then the word 50, Mia, you'll find me there. Or you could email me at mia@miachorney.com. So it's C-H-O-R-N-E-Y. I would be honored to help some people if they had any questions to improve their immune system or to improve their health.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mia, for being here today. And I want to acknowledge everyone. If this show has been helpful to you, I just encourage you to share it. Share it on your social media. If you don't yet, please do go to SusanSly.com. Make sure you sign up for my weekly tips. I give tips in entrepreneurship, mindset, and the show notes. Only my subscribers, you get the show notes. So if today has been helpful and you want those show notes and you haven't subscribed yet, go to SusanSly.com. So with that, thanks everyone. God bless. Go rock your week. Stay healthy, please. And I'd love to see on this page what you're doing to keep your immune system strong. And again, thanks Mia for being here.
Thank you so much. And God bless you. I'm so appreciative for today. Thank you.
Thanks everyone.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.